This is Brewers on Tap.
Welcome into episode number 23 of Brewers on Tap, the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. Hi again, everybody. Jeff Levering with you, your host of the podcast. And don't forget to submit those questions each and every week via Twitter to the Brewers and using the hashtag Brewers on Tap. Well, it's been a busy week in Milwaukee, and we'll hear from the Brewers Director of Professional Scouting, Zach Manassian, on what the Brewers did at the trade deadline, as well as we'll chat with MLB.com's Brewers beat writer, Adam McKelvey, and hear his perspective on where the Brewers go post-trade deadline. So it's a jam-packed episode of Brewers on Tap, so let's get it going with last week's highlights.
3-2's hit well, right center. Braun sends it way back, and there it goes! A two-out, two-strike home run for Ryan Braun, number 19. And the Brewers are on the board first tonight, 1-0. Chasing or involved with the Giants in that wild card spot. There's a little liner. Oh, what a catch! Scooter Gennett lays out and takes a hit away from Castro.
And a second really nice play that Scooter's made. He made a nice play in the hole early in the game. And a diving stab. He was shifted on Starling Castro, but able to go to his left and make a nice diving catch.
And down he goes. Nelson rings the bell on him. The runners take off, and Bryan swings and misses. Jimmy Nelson starting up the lawnmower on the way out. And Duffy on the ground, got a chance here. Gennett will take it himself, and a 4-3 double play to get out of the inning. Willie Peralta gets a visit from Rick Kranitz and puts the hammer down.
Jimmy Nelson had a terrific start against the Chicago Cubs, unfortunately in a no decision. And over his last seven starts, Nelson is 5-1 with a 2.15 earned run average, while opponents are just hitting .204 against him, and he has gone 14 consecutive scoreless innings. Willie Peralta came off the disabled list after missing just over 2 months with an oblique strain, and he got a victory in San Francisco. Scooter Gennett has been playing terrific second base in Milwaukee since his return from Colorado Springs, and Ryan Braun blasted his 19th home run of the season, bringing him just two shy of Robin Yount's Brewers' all-time record of 251. We talked about the director of professional scouting with the Brewers as Zach Manassian, and he was awfully busy during the trade deadline, so let's hear from Zach Manassian in this week's Catching Up with the Crew.
Let's catch up with the crew.
Joined now here on the podcast by the Brewers Director of Professional Scouting, and that is Zach Manassian. It has been quite the busy week for you here, Zach. A trade deadline has come and gone, and the Brewers made some significant trades. But first and foremost, before we get into the guys that the Brewers obtained in these trades, what was it like in the war room? Probably not only just the day of the trade deadline, but the week probably leading up to it.
It's a somewhat tense atmosphere. It's probably something I talk about how much fun it is after it's happened. When you're in it and you're doing these things and having these discussions, I don't know if I would use the word fun to describe it, but it's definitely exciting. It's exhilarating. And anytime we get a chance as a pro scouting department to talk about acquiring players, major leaguers or minor leaguers, we relish that opportunity. So we try to have some fun with it.
Doug Melvin was talking about not only the war room, but also the dream room, as he called it, where you guys go in and you think up, okay, well, if we trade this guy, we can get X, Y, Z, maybe even double A.
Yeah.
Tell me about the dream room.
Yeah, it's that old Seinfeld line of getting Bonds and Griffey without giving up too much. No, you know, in my position in the scouts, you're always trying to get players that you like. You want to get the best players out there to make an impact on the organization. And obviously, all of these teams, they value their own players so much, as they should. So there are definitely times we throw out ideas that are probably a little crazy. I try and be as realistic as I can for Doug for when he's talking to other teams. So he does it not only, I don't want him to embarrass himself, but I want him to talk about things that are possibilities, things that actually could happen.
It's really fun to sit there and dream, though. You know, you play games as a kid and you're thinking, oh man, if I trade this baseball card for this baseball card, you know, I can give up a couple of Chris Bosios and try and get myself a Gary Sheffield, but it doesn't turn out that way. But sometimes in real life, if you don't dream big, you don't know what's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all probably in our heads, my master plan may be different than Doug's or Gord Ash's or Mark Antanasio's or whoever it may be. But I think we all have that in our mind of, well, if we got this player and then we got that player and maybe this happened and that happened, you know, we can get to where we want to get rather quickly. So it's a fun thing to do, but you always try and bring yourself back to reality. So you allow yourself to make the best decisions possible.
Back to the player side of these things, and it's not easy to trade your players, especially when they're major league players, and the Carlos Gomez 24-hour saga that was. I mean, you guys were watching that. You had the information that everybody in the media didn't have, but as we were flying from San Francisco back home and everything was being reported over the course of those 3 hours that we were in air, I mean, it was a really interesting flight, and I'm sure it was an interesting 3 hours for you guys, too, with all that was going on.
It was surreal. It's not something I haven't really seen before, but you know, things happen, and I guess things happen for a reason. I felt I talked to Doug probably at about midnight that night, and just told him I was going to go in the office a little bit earlier the next day and go through the teams again, and it was very important for us to regroup and be prepared because anything can happen, and sure enough, we end up trading Go-Go the next day. So that's how things can happen in this game.
It was really weird seeing it because, you know, Carlos Gomez is going up and down the aisles and saying bye to people, and then a couple hours later he sits down and he's, okay, well, I guess we'll go to the ballpark tomorrow and get ready to go play, and lo and behold, an hour later, he's going to Houston. Mike Fiers was part of that deal as well, and I know a lot of folks in the Brewers community and the scouting department are, obviously it was tough to deal a guy like Carlos Gomez and Mike Fiers, but the return that the Brewers got, I feel, is pretty strong.
Yeah, we're excited about the players coming in. Brett Phillips, pure center fielder, hit at the top of the order. Domingo Santana is a prototypical right fielder. You know, Josh Hader is a left-handed starter with a really good arm, and Adrian Hauser is a right-handed starter with a really good arm. And they're all 21, 22, 23 years old, double-A, triple-A players, so they're guys that we think can be in Milwaukee sooner rather than later. And, you know, when you draw up the players you want the center fielder, you want the big bat in the corner, you want the left-hander with the mid-90s fastball. So I know for the scouting department, we're very excited. I hope our fans are excited and try and throw some young talent out here like we've had before, the groups of J.J. Hardy and Ricky Weeks and Prince Fielder and Corey Hart, and that's what we want to create again here and create some sustained seasons of winning.
And you have that kind of group going on right now in Double-A Biloxi. It feels like all of those guys are around the same age when you pair Brett Phillips with an Orlando Arcia, Michael Reed, who just got promoted up to Triple-A. These are all guys that are within the same age group that are kind of coming through the system at the same time.
Yeah, and our organization, we always have to be putting young talent out on the field. We just have to. It's just a big part of the economic structure of the game today in our market, and it's something that we enjoy doing. But I do think it's very important that you have to have a good mix. Veteran players, young players, different types of players who bring different skill sets to the game. And that's something that we want to create, too. I don't think you're ever going to look around the field and see just a bunch of 22-year-olds. You know, we want to have a good mix of veteran players and young players. And, you know, 2011, you know, we had the Craig Councils and the Mark Kotzes, and then you also have the younger players who are coming through the system. So it's definitely something we want to try and create here again.
Zach Manassian, who is the director of pro scouting here with the Brewers, chatting with us. And we talked about dealing Go-Go and Mike Fiers. Gerardo Parra, who's having as good a year as anybody in the big leagues this year, not an easy guy to part with, but getting a guy in Zach Davies in return from Baltimore, somebody that I think people can get excited about.
Yeah, he's just a pure strike thrower. He's a pitcher in every sense of the word. Fastball inside, fastball outside. He's got a really good changeup, breaking ball. I've seen him in person a couple of times, and I think he's going to throw people off with his size because he's not a very big guy, and it's not something you normally see on the mound, and you're going to see him walk out there for the first inning and think, is the bat boy throwing? And then you're going to look up in the sixth inning, and he's going to be winning the game 4-1. So that sounds like who Zach Davies is, and that's how he goes about it. Very smart kid, knows what he's doing on the mound. So another guy we were very excited to get, and he could be here. If we need him to pitch in the big leagues now, I think he could do it. So.
And a young guy, too, 22 years old.
Yeah, another young guy put in the system, and you know, now we got some starting pitching coming up along with some position players. So definitely excited. And something Doug has always said, and I agree with, we're not necessarily interested in being on the cover of Baseball America. We want to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So as much as we love putting young players in our system, the main goal is to develop these prospects to get to Miller Park and to help the big league club win games.
Another guy that we got in the final trade that the Brewers made was Jonathan Broxton going to the St. Louis Cardinals, and it was almost like a cardinal sin a long time ago to trade within your own division, but the return that we got for him, a converted infielder, now an outfielder in Malik Collymore, young kid that if he's the first guy off the bus, you're terrified trying to go up against him.
Yeah, he sounds like he's a special athlete and just a kid who just needs to go out and play. So he'll get an opportunity to do that, and I think it's the type of player I describe. It's the type of player that you send to player development. You send to your roving hitting instructor and your infield instructor, your outfield instructor. I think it's the type of kid that they're going to love working with. Physical ability, great reports on his character, his makeup. But just putting another young athlete in the system, and we've got some young players at the lower levels in Monty Harrison and Jacob Gatewood and so on and so forth, Gilbert Lara. So plugging players in there for the future is definitely a goal of ours as well.
We've been talking about the system and rebuilding that system a little bit and adding young talent to it. I feel like the onus on winning down in the minor leagues has kind of been, in some organizations, it's really important. You know, guys will stack their teams late and try and win a California League championship.
Sure.
But I think there's a little bit of credence to winning at that level, and what the Brewers have done in Biloxi and building that team and having that team win it with what they've gone through in the beginning of this season, not having a home, but maintaining some really good success. I don't think you can teach some of the things that they're learning this year.
And we want to create a culture, every minor league affiliate we have, that it is important to go out there and try and win the game at certain levels. Obviously, you're going to develop a 19-year-old kid a little bit different than you're going to develop a 24-year-old. So winning the game, say, in rookie ball may not be as important as it is in double A, where you're trying to maybe develop skills. 19, you're trying to develop the tools a little bit more. But definitely, we want players wearing Brewers uniforms to get accustomed to winning, to want to win. At the end of the game, they're proud that they can look up the scoreboard and we scored more runs or we gave up less. So definitely something we want to create. And it starts with our player development staff, Rick Sweet at Triple A and Carlos Severo at Double A, Joe Arault, Matt Erickson. They want to win the game, and that's what we want to create. Hopefully it continues and you get players here, and the most important thing for them is Brewers end up with a W at the end of the game.
Are you excited? Because managers at the end of the season, sometimes they get selected to go coach in other leagues. Double A manager Carlos Severo is going to be managing in the Arizona Fall League. I think that's a pretty big accolade to have.
Yeah, it is, and he deserves it. He's done a great job in Double A. He really gets a lot out of his players. He's the type that challenges players. I always have a good time talking to him about players. So from the scouting director's standpoint, it's nice to have another set of eyes there in the Fall League. I can talk to him about players. So that's a good thing for me. And Carlos deserves it. He does a heck of a job, and he's got a bright future.
All right, Zach, you catch up on your sleep yet from the trade deadline?
I'm trying to. Maybe I'll take a nap before the game starts here tonight.
What was your diet like during the trade deadline, by the way? Lots of pizza?
Lots of pizza. Sneak in some potato chips every once in a while.
Okay.
And I tried to mix in some water to stay hydrated. I don't drink coffee, so I had to find some caffeine at some point. And uh-huh. The one night of 45 minutes of sleep caught me the next day as I took a little 10-minute nap in my chair right in front of Doug. But we had some fun. We're looking forward to seeing these guys develop and hopefully help us.
Crushing the Mountain Dew.
Exactly.
Zach, thanks so much for the time.
My pleasure, Jeff.
It's never easy parting with major league talent, especially the likes of Carlos Gomez and Mike Fiers. Gomez, who had breakout seasons in Milwaukee, and Mike Fiers, who had played for nobody other than the Brewers. So let's hear from Mike Fiers and Carlos Gomez on the day that they were dealt.
Yeah, it's a big surprise, you know, knowing the trade deadline's coming to the end, but I mean, still, I mean, I've been with this organization, with Milwaukee, you know, my whole career, so, you know, anything different's a surprise right now.
Did you think you wouldn't be traded, though?
I just didn't want to, you know, put too much thought into it. You know, you don't know what can happen. You saw what can happen with Gomez yesterday, so some crazy things can go on, and I just want to keep my mind off of it and focus on my next start, but I'll be making that start in Houston.
What does this seem like in there just now?
Guys just, you know, congratulate me and Gomez. You know, everyone here knows, you know, what kind of, you know, business this is behind the, you know, off the field. So just wishing me luck and just, you know, happy for me and, you know, just happy for the situation. And, you know, but, everyone's got to move on and, you know, go about their business.
I mean, you know, I prepared for play today, and I got that news, and, you know, I got traded for Houston. I wish it's not for 2 or 3 hours, you know?
Doug said it was emotional, huh?
I mean, I'll be 6 years in my career in this organization, the organization that I appreciate a lot, the fans, and the whole Milwaukee Brewers staff. You guys be nice to me, too, and, you know, we are human, and we have a feeling. We're not a robot, so, you know, everything calm. And you feel emotional because it's a lot of good thing that I've been through in this organization. And me and my family feel so good. And move like that, you know, you feel it. But it's for better. Have the opportunity to be special and make the playoffs, help the Houston Astros to win a lot of games. This is my goal right now. And the only I can say, thank you to the Brewers for everything, the fans, you guys, and God bless you all.
Will you always remember Milwaukee as the place you became a good player?
Always going to be like that because this is true. You know, they believe in my skill. They believe that I can get better and growing like a player, like a person, and like a man.
Who told you about this just now? And did you almost think it was a joke after what happened yesterday?
Nah, you know, when they called me to the office, I thought they were going to call me to explain what happened yesterday. But, you know, they told me, now you get traded. And I say, well, is it going for like 2-3 hours or is the real one? So everybody laughing a little bit. But they say, no, it's true, like you get traded to the Houston Astros. And, you know, start from there.
How big was the shock value? Because you had gotten used to the idea that you were going to stay here. How much of a shock was it?
I mean, I have an old experience, and I've been traded like 2 times. And I understand the game. And I'm not surprised. You know, I know that this organization tried to review and trade me. They can get a lot of good prospect and make everything good here. So, you know, and good for the Brewer and good for the Astro. I think everybody is happy. And now I have to take a flight tomorrow to get and help that team win games.
Were you surprised that it was Houston? And what does it mean to you to go over to help them get back into playoffs?
I mean, yeah, I'm not shocked by anything after what happened last night because I see before there's a lot of coming that I'm not going to get traded. And you see last night what happened. And I'm not surprised. Yes, I come here. Have fun in my last practice. I'm in Milwaukee Brewers, and we have to move forward because, you know, it's a lot of way to go. I hope I can play for another 15 years, and I wish I don't move around too much, and I'd be happy to help the Houston Astros to win the championship.
It appeared that you had said goodbye to everyone on the plane last night with the tweet that Martin Maldonado had put out. Did you get a chance to say goodbye to guys? What was the atmosphere like in the locker room? What did they have to say to you?
I mean, yesterday I feel a little sad because I don't have the opportunity to come here, have the last practice and feel that I'm growing. And today I had the opportunity to come, get traded, and we had to move forward. And we take another new pitcher, so you're going to see it later.
Will this be hard for your three little boys? They've always known the Brewers.
I mean, it's tough, you know. Like, I have a 10-day little kid. My wife just have a surgery. And, you know, we had to wait to she feel good and come help me in Houston. So, you know, this couple of days going to be a little too crazy. But, you know, I always have 10. She support me a lot. And everything going to be good.
The Brewers were able to get a very nice haul from the Houston Astros for Carlos Gomez and Mike Fiers. And MLB.com's Jonathan Mayo weighs in on the prospects that the Brewers received.
Carlos Gomez is on the move after all, not to the Big Apple. Instead, he's headed to the Lone Star State. Tim McMaster here along with Jonathan Mayo. And the Brewers get four prospects back from the Astros in this deal. Let's start with the top two as far as rankings go. A couple of outfielders, Brett Phillips and Domingo Santana.
Yeah, two top 100 guys coming in that trade along with some other players we'll discuss in a minute. Brett Phillips is probably the better of the two, number 39 in the top 100. He slots in at number two on that Brewers list. And this is a guy who was kind of under the radar for a large period of time and jumped on last year, you know, really put up some huge numbers in the California League. This year, again, you want to see him do it beyond there. So he gets promoted and he keeps on hitting. He can hit for average and power. He runs pretty well, double digits homers and RBIs. And then you've got Domingo Santana, who's got some big league time. It's been a little uneven. There's some swing and miss to his game, but he draws a lot of walks as well, kind of helps offset it. He's hitting for average, also a good amount of power, fits that prototypical right fielder profile really, really well.
The Brewers also get a couple of pitchers in the deal, a lefty in Josh Hader, and then a right-hander in Adrian Hauser.
Yeah, I think Josh Hader is proof that have left arm will travel. It's the second time he's been traded at the deadline. Back in 2013, the Astros got him in the Bud Norris trade. That was back when the Houston Astros, you know, were sellers instead of buyers. But now that they're flipping it around, Hader is a guy who's got a real live arm, fastball with a lot of life to it, low 90s. The secondary stuff, it comes and goes. It's still a work in progress. Maybe he ends up in the bullpen. But at age 21, he was having some success in AA. Hauser is a guy who struggled a little bit this year and is probably more of a candidate to move to the bullpen. Fourth rounder back in 2011 out of the Oklahoma high school ranks. That was the year that both Archie Bradley and Dylan Bundy came from the Oklahoma high school ranks. He'd pitched well, made it to the upper levels, and then stalled a little bit. Another live arm, a guy, maybe you shorten him up, the mid-90s fastball plays up a little more, and he can have some more success.
And the Brewers weren't done there. They come back. They trade Gerardo Power to Baltimore. They get Zach Davies back. Now, Davies is a guy, doesn't necessarily look the part, but he gets the job done.
No, he looks the part of a bat boy, maybe. I mean, I saw him at the Futures game, and I think he probably would have trouble getting into Major League clubhouses. Just very young, not the biggest guy in the world. Comes in about 6 foot, 150 or so pounds. But he's had success pretty much every step of the way, and it's at the upper levels, knocking on the door, should be able to help the Brewers out now if they would want him to. And it's really all about his command and more than anything, his changeup. He has maybe the best changeup of all minor league prospects, allows the other pitches to play up. You know, we'll have to see what happens when he gets to the big league level, if he can continue to miss bats, but it is such an advanced pitch. He can throw it at any point in the count and throw it for strikes to either side. It allows that average fastball and the average breaking ball to play up even more.
And in this week's edition of Let's Break It Down, we chat with Brewers beat writer for MLB.com, Adam McAlvey.
Let's Break It Down.
MLB.com's Adam McAlvey joins us now. And Adam, the trade deadline has come and gone now, and the aftermath of what this Brewers team is after the trade deadline, far cry from what it was 2 weeks ago. What's your take on how everything panned out and how interesting some of the moves were that the Brewers made?
Well, I think on the prospect side, what stood out to me is that these were overwhelmingly AA and AAA players, advanced players. And I think it was a manifestation of what Doug Melvin has sort of been saying for months now, that if they do go into a, you know, they use the word reset, they hate the word rebuild, but if they do go into a rebuild, it's a short rebuild. It's not a 5 or 6 year window. It's a one or two or three-year window. That's the idea they have in mind. And I think they sort of backed it up by making trades not for high-ceiling A-ball guys, but for more advanced, in one player, Brett Phillips' case, a super high-ceiling guy who's at AA and not that far from the big league. So that stands out to me on the prospect side. On the big league side, it's going to be really hard to score runs the rest of the way, and Craig Counsell has a really, really challenging job ahead of keeping these players up, I think, for a lot of these games.
When you see the middle of the Brewers lineup now, and you've got the same usual suspects with Lucroy and Braun and Adam Lind this year, and now Chris Davis is going to be playing every day, where he necessarily wasn't playing every day just because Gerardo Parra has been playing so great here in 2015. But now that he's gone, you know, you've got the production in those four spots, but the other five, you know, it's taking the starting pitcher away from that spot. Might be tough, like you said, to score runs on a day-in and day-out basis. Really puts an onus on what the pitchers do.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's been a bright spot for the Brewers, if you think about it, is they're going to do this rebuild now, and a lot of it and the speed that it happens, I think, is going to come down to some of these young guys who we are already watching here, and that makes these final 2 months worth continuing to pay attention to. It's going to be on the arms of Peralta, on Jimmy Nelson. Can he take that next step? Can Youngman sustain what he's started so far? Is there another guy that we see here down the stretch? A Cravey, maybe, one of the other young guys. It's going to be on the arms, I think, that they get this thing back together and get back to a winning situation. And the bullpen's been really good. And if you look at that bullpen, there's plenty of youth out there, controllable guys. And we're coming off a game where Corey Knebel had maybe his best inning all season. That's a guy that I don't think is on, high on a lot of people's radar, but probably should be. Mm-hmm. Because him and Blazek and Jeffress and Will Smith are going to be a part of this too for the next couple of years.
When you look down at the farm system and you see the additions that got plugged in, do you think that, you know, they talk about the retooling and the reset, that it is going to be maybe 2 years away? Do you think that that's realistic?
Well, yes, if a lot of those guys pan out. And someone linked to me a Brewers top 10 prospect list from probably 2004, it must have been, because Prince Fielder was still on it. And, man, that was a good list. I mean, it was Fielder and Corey Hart, and Ryan Braun was number 8. And there were some pitchers that didn't quite pan out, but got to the big leagues. Dana Eveland was on that list. I mean, that was a stacked prospect list. And those are the guys that brought the Brewers up to prominence in the late 2000s. Are there that quality of player on that list now? I don't know. I mean, that's the thing, is none of us know. But it certainly, that list looks a lot better than it did a week ago. And you're talking about, again, Brett Phillips is at the top. Many other names that are new to that. It's top 30 for MLB.com. I was looking at the list. 11 of those names are new since last November, starting with picking up Kyle Wren in a kind of sneaky trade with the Braves. So there's been a lot of turnover, and there is definitely more talent on that list now than there was. Is it as good as that former group? I don't know.
When you look at that Biloxi team that has, you know, shocked the world down in AA, not playing a home game for 55 straight games, not playing, you know, at a home in Biloxi, and just the talent that they have loaded up on that team, it signals to me, at least from the outside, that the Brewers are starting to say, hey, we want to win at the minor league level and kind of set these guys up that when they win in the minor leagues, that's going to promote a winning atmosphere once they get to the big leagues.
Well, and I'll dip back again to the history and look back to that Fielder, Hart, Hardy, yeah, Weeks era. I mean, those guys played a lot of minor league games together, and that was the idea, and Giovanni Gallardo's part too. You try to teach winning early and elevate them together. And that is kind of the idea, I think, with Biloxi this year. And part of that, too, is that Colorado Springs was an unknown. You didn't know how the pitchers were going to respond to working there. I mean, and some of the numbers were not very good. So it probably does make a lot of sense to keep guys in Biloxi a little bit longer moving forward than perhaps they would have done in the past when it was Nashville as your AAA club. But a lot of promise down there. Again, just throw a name out there that the casual fans that I talk to have never heard of. Jorge Lopez is a really interesting guy down there. I saw him at the Futures game last year, and this guy can really pitch. And this era now in baseball is power, power, power. He is not that guy, but I think he's showing that you can still get outs doing it the way he does it. And you know, I think you put him high on the list of arms. I know Doug Melvin likes to slug, and there's this idea that to be good, this team is going to have to develop a slugging team, and that, you know, he knows a lot more than I do, and he's probably right. But if I'm looking at the names they've got, and what's going to determine whether or not this rebuild happens quickly like they hope it will. I look at a lot of those pitchers, and I think if some of those guys can pan out, I think you could see this happening in, say, 2 years.
Adam McAlvey of MLB.com joins us here. And what do the Brewers do with a guy like Kyle Loesch? He has struggled so much here in 2015, and it's such an outlier of a season for him. You know, he was in the mid-threes for the last three years. You know, what do the Brewers do with him at this point?
Well, the beauty of my job, Jeff, and your job, is that we don't have to figure that out. We just get to report on what they do. And all I can tell you as we stand here right now is they say he's penciled in to make his next start. And he's on the game notes today, penciled in for Friday. And until they tell us otherwise, I guess that's the plan. It's a really challenging situation. And I saw it with Jeff Suppan. I saw it with Randy Wolf. Guys in the end of big money, multi-year pitching deals, it gets ugly at the end often. The stunning thing with Kyle Loesch is how quickly it happened. And that's what everyone was trying to figure out, is how do you go from 4 great years for the Cardinals and Brewers, 2 great years pitching in this ballpark as a steady guy. When they named him opening day starter, you nodded your head and said, all right, that makes a ton of sense. That's the guy. And for that switch to just flip so quickly has got to be really painful for Kyle Loesch. You feel for the guy in that situation. And they've tried a million different things. It hasn't worked out. Again, they say he'll pitch Friday. I think at some point this organization now is in a bigger picture view, and it's probably worth giving a lot of those starts to someone else at some point. And it's going to be a painful move when they have to make that move.
He's such a quality guy and such a competitive guy, too. I mean, do you think that once his career is over, when it ends up being over, that he moves into a coaching role at some point?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him about that because, Jeff, he's been so good. Yeah. How do you ask a guy who's been, you know, last year, the season he had, the years before that, how do you ask him about coach? I mean, he used to joke that because he's sort of the elder statesman on the club, everybody wants to talk to him about retirement. And they were sort of silly. We talked about this in spring training. They were odd questions to ask a guy who looked at in his prime, the way his career has gone. His prime happened to be age, you know, 34, 35, 36. So I haven't even really had an opportunity to ask him what his plan is. I predict a lot of golf.
Yeah.
And baseball-wise, I don't know. And honestly, I wonder if he's even thought about it because, again, he's been so productive. I don't think the thought was that this was going to be it. It wasn't like Aramis Ramirez saying, after the season, I'm going to ride into the sunset. He was going to look for another deal. And now all that is called into question.
Adam, one final question for you. The non-waiver trade deadline obviously is gone, but you can make some deals in August. That's been one of Doug Melvin's calling cards the last few years. Do you think that the Brewers make a couple of deals here in August?
I think they'd like to, because right now, again, this is all about adding more talent into the system, and they've done a good job of it so far. And look, this may be wishful thinking. I've seen the guy for 2 of his good years. If I'm a team, I might take a flyer on Kyle Loesch. I don't think he's going to cost another team a piece. Maybe the Brewers will kick in some money and just save a little bit and put him in a situation. To me, he screams change of scenery guy, because the scouts say the stuff is not tremendously diminished. And you wonder if he might be able to give a team a little spark in September. Weird things have happened before. Doug Melvin told the story of trading for John Burkett when he was in Texas late. I don't know if it was August or September, but it was a late trade, and Burkett ended up starting a postseason game for him. So this is an odd game where the tiniest little change can flip a light switch for somebody in a positive way. And I don't know. It's not my money, and it wouldn't be my player, but I would take a flyer on Kyle Loesch.
Adam, thanks so much for the time and also for the recommendation on a new barbershop. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Can we say it on a Stag barbershop in Bayview? I've been going to Jess for probably a dozen years. It's one of my favorite places in Milwaukee. I'm really glad we get to plug that on the podcast.
Absolutely. I'm going to plug it, and, you know, I'm getting my hair cut tomorrow, so it might even get a little bit more love. Who knows?
We two of us are born for the podcast, too, for audio. So no one's going to know whether we look good or not when we get our haircut tomorrow. So, you know, Jess is golden.
It's going to be the best haircut I've ever had, that's for sure.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Checking in on the farm.
Bah.
We check in on the farm this week for the Brewers, and it's the new prospects acquired in the trades and how they did in their debuts. Right-hander Adrian Houser made his Brewers debut on Monday in Biloxi, and he threw 5 2/3 innings, allowing 3 runs with 6 strikeouts, but allowed all 3 of those runs in his final inning of work. Outfielder Brett Phillips has gone just 2 for 10 in his first 3 games in Biloxi, but he is impressed in center field. Outfielder Domingo Santana, who's playing in left in Colorado Springs, is 3 for 10 in his first couple of games with the Sky Sox, and he's driven in 4 runs. Overall, Santana's hitting .319 with 16 homers and 63 RBIs in 77 AAA ball games. And Malik Collymore, who was acquired from the Cardinals in the Jonathan Broxton deal, was 1 for 4 in his debut with Helena. The Brewers are still awaiting their debuts of left-hander Josh Hader in Biloxi. He starts on Tuesday, and Zach Davies is scheduled to start on Wednesday in AAA Colorado Springs. And finally, one of the top prospects in the system, shortstop Jake Gatewood, has found success in short season Helena as he's clubbed 5 homers and driven in 27 runs in 38 ball games, and 20 of his 36 hits this year in Helena have gone for extra bases. And as always, for more minor league updates, you can visit our blog at minordetails.mlblogs.com.
Here's what's on tap with the Brewers.
Here's what's on tap for the crew this week as they finish up their series with the Padres before the St. Louis Cardinals come to town over the weekend. Friday is another Free Shirt Friday, and Sunday is Bob Uecker Bobblehead Day, modeled after Uke's Last Row statue. There's lots going on in August. The crew goes away for 3 days and then comes right back to Miller Park, so visit Brewers.com for more details and more promotional giveaways. That's going to do it this week for Brewers on Tap. Don't forget to tweet those questions each and every week to the Brewers using the hashtag BrewersOnTap. Thanks to our great guests this week, the Director of Professional Scouting, Zach Manassian, as well as MLB.com's Adam McAlvey. My name is Jeff Levering. Thanks for listening to the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. This is Brewers on Tap. Brewers, 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 come on, Brewers.